Okay, great. So welcome everyone. Today we have Andrea from Dyne Foundation presenting post-quantum verifiable credentials using the Dilithium signature scheme, which is pretty cool. Before we get started, I'll just do a brief run through of the admin. So first, just a reminder, code of ethics, you know, treat everyone with respect. We want to create a welcoming, friendly environment here, so be respectful. Next, the IP note. So anyone can participate in these calls, and we welcome all participation. However, if you want to make some substantive contributions to any work items, you must be a member of the CCG. And there's a link to join that. I'll try to drop it in the chat. Okay, and then just how the call works. So there's an audio recording of all our calls. We use IRC. I don't think that's actually true. We to queue up, you can just raise your hand or press Q plus in the chat to add yourself to the queue if you want to comment on anything. I think that's everything, right? I guess next is introductions, reintroductions. Is anyone new to the call today who'd like to say hello or hasn't said hello in a while and feels like, you know, saying some words? Please put yourself on the queue now. We'd love to hear from you. Benjamin, Ben.
Yeah, I just wanted to share the announcement we posted on the CCG list about canivc.com. If you haven't had a chance to look at that, we'd love to get feedback on it. It's an attempt to aggregate the various W3C test suites for verifiable credentials across both the verifiable credentials working group and the credentials community group. And it's very much a work in progress, but we'd love to have more folks running the test suites and get implementations added, as well as get feedback on this attempt to bring more visibility to verifiable compliance, basically, with these test suites. So any feedback y'all have would be great to hear. On the mailing list is fine, or you can reach out to me directly.
Cool. I had a brief look at that. That's really interesting. Okay, but that was going into announcements. I mean, we can do announcements too. If anyone has any other announcements, or if anyone still wants to introduce themselves, please, you know, jump on. Nope. Anu.
Sorry. Just a quick update. The BBS crypto suite that the Verifiable Credentials Working Group is working on was you know the vote to transition it to the candidate recommendation phase at W3C was successful. It is currently going through transition review, and if everything goes well, which we think it will, we'll transition to a candidate recommendation by the end of March. So that basically means it's ready for people to start implementing it. There will be a test suite for it. And so if you have put any of your implementations against any of the test suites that either the CCG or the Verifiable Credential Working Group have been working on, it should be fairly easy to integrate with this upcoming test suite as well. We already have multiple implementations, which is good news. Always nice to have that before you even enter. We are only required to have two independent interoperable implementations to exit CR, so we're pretty confident we already have that, but the more the merrier when it comes to implementers. So if you are interested in implementing unlinkable signatures and helping out with that effort, please do. That's it.
Great, thanks.
Hey, Manu, sorry if I crashed the party. You might have heard that we are involved in the review.
Yes, which is fantastic. Very happy to have you review the BBS stuff. I think that's wonderful.
We're happy.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, if that's everything, then I think we can hand over to Andrea and Q. get started with this presentation. Do you want to post your links now, Andrea? That would be great.
Yes, here we go. I'm going to post the link now. So a few words of introduction. Some of you we've met before, but most of the names are new to me, so I guess we're new to you as well. I'm Andrea from Dive.org and Forkbomb BV. I have my colleague Jaramil here, as well as two new, very new colleagues who joined. I'm going to talk to you about our very, very pre-alpha POC of Dilithium W3C VC credential. I had a short meeting with Harrison last week, discussing about what I should talk about, and he gave me a couple of good hints on how to structure the presentation. So I did summarize the work that is ongoing on quantum-proof cryptography. I'll talk about our implementation and talk what we have so far and in what directions this could develop, both in terms of low-hanging fruit or in terms of longer time frame development. And I'm going to paste. I already pasted the presentation, so I think I will just share my screen. All right. Can you see my screen, everybody?
Yep, that's great.
Cool. Yep. Okay. So, point number one, quantum-proof cryptography. Why do we need quantum-proof cryptography? The answer is that a while ago, someone calculated that quantum computers will be able to break most current cryptography. That includes elliptic curve signatures. Some algorithms appear to be quantum-proof already, like AES. I believe that RSA will also be affected. Anyway, within a few years, a lot of the cryptography that we do now will be broken by quantum computers. Therefore, the NIST started, I believe, in 2017, or maybe it was even earlier, with a competition for quantum-proof algorithm. And in 2022 or maybe 23, I can't remember, the winners were announced. And there were four winners, Kyber, which is the only one in the key exchange mechanism category. So this is a little bit the quantum-proof version of ECDH. Then there were three signature algorithms that won. I believe they're all based on lattice cryptography. And the other winners, so the signature algorithms that won the competition were Dilithium, Falcon, and Sphinx. Here I summarized the size of the signature for each of them, with Dilithium being about 3 kilobytes, Falcon being the smallest, 666 for one version, 1,200 for the other version, Sphinx, which is the algorithm that saw the participation of Vijay Bernstein, as a massive 41 kilobyte signature size. Next. How are these algorithms implemented? So the core implementation, that is the one that was submitted to NIST, is always made in C. Some of them, and you see here the for each case what happened. For some of them, alternative implementations have been done. Particularly for Dilithium, they have done one in Rust and one in Java. Sphinx also sees an implementation in Java. While for Falcon, they only done implementation in Python. So basically, the core repositories with the source code for the cryptographic flows are written in C. What did we do? We did implement the Dilithium and the Kyber. See, the Dilithium signature, the Kyber key exchange mechanism, along with NTRU, which was included in OpenSSH, inside our Crypto VM Zenru. I will talk about it on and off during the presentation. So the presentation is not about Zenru, it's about how we implement Dilithium signature in Zenru, and based on that, we did a first proof of concept of W3C VC Dilithium compatible signature. So what we did is that since ZenRoom is written in C, we imported the respective libraries in C into our repo. Then we implemented the interpreter of the English-like domain-specific language ZenCode, which we use to program ZenRoom, which is written in Lua. We implemented end-to-end vector tests, and if you click on the link of the presentation here, you can see where we have the vector test implemented. Before or at the same time, no, actually, slightly after we created, we could sign stuff using Dilithium. We have implemented W3C did public keys in our did method, and I will show that to you later. Super bonus, one of our colleagues who was involved in the development wrote a post on Medium about that. Further, why is it good to use ZenRoom instead of the C code? Well, first of all, ZenRoom builds on every architecture, on every platform. But most important, ZenRoom transcompiled to WASM. But WASM is wrapped in an NPM package. Therefore, we can do deleting signatures in the browser and in Node.js. Furthermore, given the nature of the of our crypto VM, it's pretty straightforward, do a mishmash of different cryptographic algorithms. So you could at the same time, for example, do a Dilithium signature and a BBS signature and a BLS 12 381 signature in the same script within a few lines. And the API that produces the W3CVC with the Dilithium signature, I will show to you how it's done. But it's something that I did literally in less than half an hour. I didn't touch it since. So it's pretty easy to do data manipulation and cryptography using our tech. This is what you will see in the Dilithium signature. So what's the API that I will show you does something extremely basic. It just takes a JSON payload and creates a proof that contains the signature and adds a little bit of metadata into it. So what I added is the timestamp. I added this string to define what CryptoSuite is used. Obviously, if you Google this, you will not find this because that's something I made up. Then as ID of the credential, I just hashed the whole JSON file and place it here. Then we have a proof of purpose assertion method, pretty standard in W3C VC 1.1. Proof value, inside here, you have the actual Dilithium signature, which is massive, so it wouldn't fit in this page, therefore I just added it here. Integrity proof, and as verification method, we have the Dilithium public key of the did object that is registered on our did service. So here you read did column dime column sandbox dot generic issue, and this is the ID of the did. Okay, I can give you a quick demo. So the fastest way to distribute a very long curve. I found it was the fastest way I found is Pastebin. So if you click here, you should be able to get this. So I'm just going to copy that. Then I'm going to fire up a shell here. I'm going to paste the curl. I'm going to do pipe jq to get it formatted properly. So as you can see in the curl, I am calling this API, which is the API that is going to produce the VC. I am simply passing it this. And what the API is going to do is going to insert a proof into this JSON. That's all. Pretty straightforward. Here we go. So inside here, you find, sorry, let me jump up. You find proof, timestamp, all the stuff that I mentioned before. This massive thing is the Dilithium signature. And this is the did of the issuer that signed this credential, which we can have a look at here. So if you go to explorer.bind.org and press enter, and I'm just going to paste the bit here. This is the document of the service that signed this. And if you look into the context, you will see that for some of the JSON-LD definitions, they are fetched straight from our repo. This is because at the time when we put together the first version of our DID, we couldn't find any specification that worked. So this is a BLS 1231 public key. This is another BLS 1231. This is a DBS public key. This is something that maybe I'll talk about with Manu in a different session. And this specification here is a specification of the Dilithium public key, which you can find here. And the whole specs are here. Anyway, let's scroll down and reflow CDSA, DDSA, issuer, BBS, and this is Dilithium. So I, context, I'm going to paste this public key inside here, and you see the size of the key we're looking at. So that's the public key. That's how the quantum proof world, unfortunately, is like. So this you can try at home. That's something we saw already, the public key of the issuer did. Then you have try at home fun version. If you want to try a simple Dilithium signature using our stack, you just go to apiroom.net, examples, QP Dilithium, which I'm going to do for you right now. So this is apiroom is the IDE of our cryptographic virtual machine. We have a bunch of examples here divided by subject or by cryptography. If you scroll down to the bottom, you can see Dilithium, generate key, generate public key, create signature, verify signature. And those scripts, you can take them and use them as a base to create an API. I'll show you the one that I use as a base to create the API that I showed you before. So the actual code that creates a signature is this. Given I am Alice, given I am my keyring, so this. Inside here, I keep all my secret keys. Given I have a string name message, which is this, when I create the Dilithium signature of. So this statement creates a Dilithium signature. Then in the end, I'm printing out the signature and the message. I press run, and so this is how you can play with the Dilithium signature at home. Yes, this apiroom.net docs, if you look at the curl we did, the curl is done to https apiroom.net /api/generic-issuer/ the name of the endpoint is the API. Here, if you copy paste this, sorry, I'm just gonna open it in a new tab. This is the swagger that you shows. Well, first of all, you can do get and posts. The actual API you have to use is this. In here, I can also show you the actual code behind this API, which is a chain of two scripts, Dilithium 01 and Dilithium 02, where all the computation happens in Dilithium 01. In 02, I'm doing only data manipulation. I had to split this in two parts, because I was lazy. I could have put everything in a single one, but, yeah. So this is the most of the code that generates the Dib3 CVC that you've seen, which is, again, it just takes a JSON file and signs it, and it's far from being interoperable and compliant, but, the technology is good to make quick and easy tests, a mishmash. So that's what we have so far. For the future, low-hanging fruits within minutes, and when I say minutes, I mean literally minutes, I can create microservices to do sign and verify. So basically, I can take this API and export it together with a shell script or into a Docker file that you could launch on a server to test the API yourself. This is something, literally something I can do in minutes. Within 1 hour or two, we can hack together a JavaScript library that within one file has, we can have two APIs in the library, one to sign, one to verify, so that you can do your own signatures and verifications in the browser or in Node. We could also spend some time drafting a standard. I think that's what we discussed with Manu at some point. With a relatively slow effort, we can insert the W3CVC signing API into our identity solution, which we're working on these days. We'll probably release a beta in a few weeks, which at the moment is focusing on EUDI ARF. So the EIDAS2 signatures, meaning that the exchange protocols are OpenID for BCI and the credential format is SDJOT. So if it makes some sense, what we could do pretty easily is instead of producing an SDJOT, we could produce a Dilithium signature. It would come out as a Frankenstein, so I don't think it makes much sense. If we have to work with the W3CVC APIs, that will require a little bit more work. That's something we can also discuss doing if anybody's interested. So we can plug our signature technology into somebody else's flow, or we could implement our own. Something else we have been looking at is to implement Falcon. The reason behind this being that Falcon is the smallest quantum proof signature. So it's the smallest one is 600 bytes versus 3 kilobytes of the lithium. And I think that I'm done.
Great. Manu, you're up.
Yeah, this is all fantastic stuff, Andreas. I'm trying to think of which thing to ask the question about first. So the DID documents are really interesting, really neat that you were able to use the extensibility features of the DID spec to add a whole bunch of different key representations in the DID document. And that, you know, Dilithium was one of those things along with BBS. So that was really neat to see. And then, of course, it was really neat to see that you're using, the data integrity proof expression mechanism to do the Dilithium signature. And that looks, I mean, it looks very, very close to what we would potentially end up standardizing, right? I mean, it's only maybe a month at most work to go from what you have demonstrated to having a specification that we could probably take standards track. So that's really neat to see as well. I guess the question to you is, where do you see going next and what's the timeline? So for example, like, you know, right now the Verifiable Credential Working Group, I think what we're planning to do is recharter the working group to go into maintenance mode and, you know, take the current specifications we have through to like global standards. So like the BBS suite and that kind of stuff. So Dilithium, you know, we can't put the new Dilithium work in, just yet. But what we can do is maybe incubate that in the credentials community group and start talking to W3C about, hey, we can now do post-quantum signatures, you know, with Dilithium, Kyber, Andrew, you know, whatever we end up picking. What is your timeline? Like, what do you think is the ideal timeline? What should we focus on? with respect to post-quantum signatures, and like, you know, data integrity at W3C. How quickly do you think we could maybe get a specification together to incubate?
All right. That's a very good question. Basically, we implemented this stuff, I believe, in spring 2022. So we implemented it before the NISQ competition was over, and we picked the Lithium and Kyber because we thought that we were going to win, and they did. So it was a very lucky pick. Said that after we implemented it, we actually didn't do anything with it. We did present once the our Dilithium did at some W3C meeting, but maybe it was too early, so we didn't actually get any feedback about that. Said that for the future, we haven't set any resources on this because we weren't aware of if and how people need this. So based on the feedback we get, then we can allocate some resources, and then we can work something out. Depending, so getting specs together in terms of documentation, that's is something I don't know, that would take a few weeks. Implementing, so making the verifiable credential itself interoperable, I don't think it's going to be, as you mentioned, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But be aware that at the moment we're just taking a JSON and signing it. So we're not doing any test whatsoever on the JSON input. And, yeah, we would have to work on the error message and stuff like that. If it's just the W3C VC, it's feasible within, you know, a few weeks or a couple of months or at most. But it depends on where it has to be plugged, meaning what exchange protocols lead to this, and what it has to interpret with. The API you've seen making it interoperable and compliant, I don't think is much work, and it can be done within the time frame you mentioned.
So I have a follow-up question on that, which is, so as I understand it, the thing that would need to be standardized is like a Dilithium crypto suite, right? And I always struggle with what these things, what they do is they basically specify those steps that you had in the API, right? You know, when you showed the API, there was a bunch of like instructions effectively about do this, you know, create the ID. Is that what a crypto suite is getting to? Like, what are the steps by which we create a signature on this EC and then include it in the proof and understand proof so that we can verify it in a consistent manner? Yeah,
I'm not sure I can follow. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was go ahead, Harrison. I can follow behind you.
No, you can go first.
Okay. So yes. Well, fundamentally, you know, crypto suite, data integrity crypto suite just has the algorithm that you follow to do all the steps. I think the good news here is that the only difference with what we all have already taken through the standardization process. Like, so, you know, the data integrity crypto suites have like, a couple of stages. The first one is transforming the data. Then you hash the data and then you sign the data, right? And Andrea has demonstrated all of those, you know, processes in what he's shown today. So in the transform, you either do like, I think, Andre, you were just taking the JSON as is and hashing it to sign. Is that right?
I will pass the question to Jaramil. I know that there are different visions about, what has to be, how the input has to be transformed. I believe that we just take the JSON as it is and sign it. If okay. Jaramil can say a word about it. Else we will reply to you online. I can do the protocol.
This is a tricky thing that is not so clear in Red Caesar standard. So when there is a structured data, how it is signed. I think almost by convention, we sign JSON without spaces. It would be nice to nail that down. And I've seen in other standards, JSON marshaled inside other JSONs with dots separating, like the JWT, which looks really bad to my eyes. And so I don't know if I understood your question, like what will be signing. I think we can stay with the basic practice, signing a rendered string, JSON string, without spaces. But this will not solve one big problem, which is the deterministic sorting of dictionary elements in JSON strings. I think, anyway, this is a topic that covers pretty much every signature that we want to standardize. And the problem is that most languages do not grant deterministic sorting of keys into a dictionary. Python, JavaScript, any language will not grant the deterministic sorting. So anything that comes in will not be sorted out unless we apply alphabetic sorting explicitly, which may break the entry, the input data. So this is just a call for perhaps a new subject for a working group, that we have a deterministic way to organize structured data. And it can stay in JSON, but we could say, okay, any signed data should be alphabetically sorted before, and JSON without spaces. I hope I address the issue at hand.
Yes, absolutely. So here's the good news. We have standardized at least two different ways to do that already. So one of the things that W3C has been working on is dataset canonicalization, which is the sorting that you're talking about. W3C standardized RDF dataset canonicalization, which we use for W3C VCs that use data integrity. But data integrity also supports JSON canonicalization. So, Yarmil, the thing that you were talking about, you know, sorting dictionaries, there's a specification, an ITF RFC that exists already, that's a standard called JCS, JSON canonicalization scheme, that does that. So we have syntax specific mechanisms to do that are already standards, that's JCS, and we have syntax agnostic mechanisms to do the canonicalization, which is RDF dataset canonicalization. So that's, I'm going to assert that's a solved problem, and they're already standard, you know, to do that. So that's the transformation phase. Then once you transform, that's kind of one of the hardest parts. After you do that, hashing is easy and straightforward. There are plenty of standards that exist for that. And then finally, to generate the signature and the proof, that's really the only thing that's remaining. So going back to the question that Will raised, the W3C, let's say post-quantum crypto suites specification would just be referring to other standards that already exist. And the only new thing that the W3C data integrity, post-quantum data integrity crypto suites would have to do is specify that we're using dilithium, specify exactly which, you know, signature size, you know, we'd be using. We may want to also put in, Sphinx Plus and True Kyber as kind of a backup in case, you know, dilithium's broken. But it's not a lot of work to do this. Like, what I'm saying is, like, for the past 2 years, the Verifiable Credential Working Group has created all the base primitives that we need. And those base primitives are pretty much done at this point, where we just reuse the existing base primitives in the dilithium specification. So I agree with Andre. I mean, this is not a tremendous amount of work to put this in the specification into a crypto suite specifically.
Thanks for the pointer to the JSON canonicalization. I'll ask you the number of the RFC later. because the European, the current European effort at Identity Wallet do not implement it. At least in the reference implementation, we have undeterministic behavior with fields. So it would be useful to forward that.
Great. Harrison, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm just curious on a different topic. Like Andrea, like why did you pick Deletherian to implement? Like, is it just rolling the dice, or like I'm curious about the pros and cons and the trade-off between the four options, the four winners of the post-quantum cryptography. And you mentioned that Falcon is the smallest size, but like if that's the case, then why would anybody like implement Sphinx, for example?
When we implemented this, I think that it was between the second and the third round. At the time, we had to pick between around 8 or 10 different signatures, and we did bet on Kyber and Dilithium, because they both come from the same working team, the Crystals team, which is mostly people at the University of Leuven in Belgium, which is the mecca of cryptography. So we checked the people behind the algorithms, and we thought that if they participated, they were expecting to win, which more or less happened.
Andrea, you should also say that we spend more time following NIST competitions than soccer games.
True. Absolutely true. That has been our main hobby for a few months. But anyway, we did this before the end of the competition, and it was 50% we rolled the dice and 50% we tried to guess which one would win. We also implemented NTRU, which ended up being implemented in OpenSSH, but didn't win the NIST competition. So, I mean, we implemented 3 and 2 were selected. We were okay lucky, I guess.
Got it. Thank you. And I like the joke, or maybe not a joke, about the soccer thing. So.
Yeah. I have another question, which is, in one of your slides, you mentioned you can mix and match this signature scheme with other signature schemes like BBS Plus. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you have implemented parallel signatures, so that I can have a VC with a Dilithium signature and a BBS Plus, for example?
We have not implemented parallel signatures in the way that Manu showed it a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if you send me a JSON, I can, within minutes, hack together an API that creates 3 signatures. And then I will need 1 more hour to manipulate the JSON and create a proof that is semi-compliant, not to create something like that.
Cool. Mana?
Yeah, and to add to that, one of the benefits of parallel signatures is that you can have multiple different organizations put different signatures on the same payload. So, you know, I mean, it's not difficult to do a parallel signature implementation. It's literally just an array of proofs. Like, you just need to take your proof and then put it in an array, and you've got a parallel signature. So it would not be, you know, as Andre said, it would not be difficult for them to implement parallel signatures. It would, you know, take an hour at most. But I think the other thing that's really interesting is that we could experiment. You know, as Andre was showing in his example, you know, the crypto suite started off with experimental dash. So it's an experimental crypto suite. But the nice thing about, you know, parallel signatures is that we can put experimental signatures, alongside, you know, official NIST approved, you know, ECDSA signatures today, or beside, you know, BBS signatures today. So, the other thing that we could also do is, you know, use the VC playground. If Andre and his, and Yaramil and their team, the Dyn team, could put together like a credential issuer through Zenroom, then we could just add them to the list of issuers and call out to their system to do the Dilithium signatures, in the playground, which basically means like, you know, if you wanted a dilithium signature on any of the verifiable credentials in the playground would just reach out to the Dyn implementation to Zenroom to add the dilithium signature on there. So we already have, you know, a number of really useful primitives to pull in the good work that Andre Yarmil and their team is doing.
I can tell you that we have been looking at it. We also had a very productive meeting with Benjamin about W3C VC API test, I think it's called. And we saw today, yesterday, the announcement of Kenai VC. So that's something we're looking at. And we are pushing out the release in the next few weeks. But we hope we'll have the chance to look at into that as soon as we're done with our deadlines.
Cool. I have another question, Maya. Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to hog the questions, but it's rare to have somebody on a call that knows both BBS and post-quantum stuff like Andre and Yarmil. So the general question is, what are your thoughts on unlinkable post-quantum signatures? Or is there any particular team that you're looking at right now that's working on post-quantum unlinkable digital signatures?
The lithium is linkable because you have to distribute a public key. Unlinkable dilithium. All right, I need to think about this. So you're thinking of making something like the equivalent of an SDJOT or a zero-knowledge proof based on the lithium.
More like BBS, you know, something closer to BBS with a post-quantum scheme.
That's not something I have been thinking about. I don't know if Jarm left thoughts. But
we did something similar, Andrea, for which we cannot really talk about for our clients in Denmark, using old and sort of interesting protocol. And I mean, I think that looking at all the ways to do zero knowledge proof could lead to some success. I'm not sure if we have. But this will be not really like deeply integrated into post-quantum tech, just using certain post-quantum algos in place of others to do old-school zero-knowledge proof. The answer, we don't see anything innovative right now.
But Manu, just for us to understand each other, dilithium is just a bigger ECDSA. So I've seen your... select disclosure ECDSA, that can be done with the lithium, but that's as far as you get. I don't think that the lithium allows to have a selected disclosure within the signature. I mean, not as far as we have seen or implemented. It's just a fatter ECDSA.
Yes, absolutely. Completely agree with that. So we could take the existing ECDSA SD suite and we could apply dilithium to it, and we would just get selective disclosure out of it, which is great. I mean, you know, that's beneficial. But of course, you know, everyone's wondering, well, what about BBS? BBS is not post-quantum secure. We need, you know, replacement there. I know there's some work that folks are doing on post-quantum unlinkable schemes, but it's very, very, you know, early days. But at the same time, you know, it is it's an area of interest. People want to see a post-quantum unlinkable signature. It is possible, but, you know, research is very, very new in that area. And it's probably going to take, you know, 5 to 7 years for anything worthwhile to kind of pop out there. The other thing that's kind of interesting, and I'm wondering if either of you have looked into this is hybrid selective disclosure schemes. So there are, the way the ECDSA SD, signatures work is you generate an ephemeral key pair and you use that ephemeral key, to digitally sign each selectively disclosed entry. And then you use like a hardware back key to digitally sign everything, the ephemeral key and all of the selectively disclosed statements. Or rather it's, you use your hardware back key to sign the ephemeral key, which is the thing that signs all the selectively disclosed statements. Now in a post-quantum signature scheme, the problem is like the signature sizes. Like if you're using, for example, if you're using like Sphinx, you're looking at, you know, 41 kilobyte signatures for each selectively disclosed statement, which means that your verifiable credential is gigantic. It's multiple hundreds of kilobytes for, you know, something like a European PID or something of that nature. So one of the other things that we were looking at is this concept of using like watts or watts plus. The idea here is that you can create, you know, these single time pad signature schemes that are highly space efficient, where the signature is space efficient, and you can use that to generate effectively like 32 to 64 byte signatures per selectively disclosed statement, but then sign over the entire thing using a post-quantum scheme. So you, effectively what you end up with is a efficient selectively disclosed post-quantum scheme that does not have any of the data leaking issues that SDJOT has. Have you, hopefully one, that made sense, and two, have you looked into watts and kind of pad, one-time pad-based schemes as like a hybrid of post-quantum schemes?
I'm not familiar with Watts, Watts Plus. I'm not sure I heard the name before. I don't know if Jeremy knows about it.
No, we haven't looked into that. In general, the wrapping approach that you mentioned, I think, is the most valid right now. And I would say it's a nice idea to wrap selective disclosure with a quantum signature. We can do it right away with our like DSL, with our domain-specific language. Good idea.
I mean, wrapping signatures one into another, we can do it literally in no time. Something you mentioned about hardware signature, hardware keys, so hardware-based secret keys, something we looked at in different situations is I had the word on the tip of my tongue. When you start with a secret key and generate the following secret keys,
hierarchical deterministic keys.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, IP32.
Yes. BIP32. Yes. That's also something we looked at. We haven't done much work with it, but that is also something we can do. I believe we can already do, with what we have in Zenroom using the statements we have.
So the derivating keys is interesting. There is another standard I'm looking into right now, which is the carry standard.
K-E-R-I.
Well, yeah, K-E-R-I for key rotation, apparently popular in Asia.
But anyway, key derivation is something that we can look at pretty comfortably.
Great. Any last comments before we close the meeting?
Yeah, I have a question. By the way, this is a relatively newbie cryptographic question. Is earlier, Andrea, you mentioned that the Ethereum, you can think of it as a bigger like Edwards curve, like EDSA. And my understanding is EDSA is more like a curve-based cryptography, whereas post-quantum that is space. So if that's the case, what's the relationship between the curve base versus like lattice base like cryptography?
We are comparing, so with Manu, we're comparing, let's say regular signatures with, signatures that allow homomorphic sums like BBS. So with BBS, you have, you add stuff on the curve. While with UCDSA, DDSA, and the Lithium just signed one thing. on ECDSA, you have the signatures 1 point. On Dilithium is a lattice, so it's points connected together. But basically, the juice of the conversation is that we haven't yet seen any quantum proof signature that has the properties which allow to do a zero knowledge proof in the way that BBS does. They just lack some features.
I see. Got it. Thank you. And sorry, one last question, a completely different question. Do you know of any like kind of commercial application of post-quantum cryptography, or is it still mostly in the public and academic sectors?
Is that, is this the question to me?
Yes.
We know that, we have heard that several enforcement agencies are looking into that. Especially the interest went up since the February 2022 events, but I am not aware of anybody. If you ask me if we have any competitor, I have no idea. I don't think so.
Got it. Thank you.
Welcome.
Rick, any final thoughts? No? All right. Well, thanks a lot, Andrea. That was really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. So maybe we should explore a CCG work item, or, you know, I'd love to see this become a more formal step, doesn't it?
Sure. Let's be in touch. If, based on our conversation, if anyone has some homework we could do, in the next month or so, then we can try to do some work on it. So Manu mentioned the specification and VC Playground.
Nice. Yep. And to be clear, we would be very happy to put together a post-quantum data integrity crypto suite with you. I think that's something that we could kind of create and incubate in CCG and get more implementers behind and then potentially take global standards track.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks everybody. I'll see you next week. See ya. Thanks, Andrea.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you guys. Thank you for the attention.